This podcast is brought to you by the Premier Surgical Office-Based Surgery Center on Paper Mill Drive in Knoxville. Excellent care designed for patient comfort and convenience.
This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. 865-255-03, B-Drive waterproofing hotline. Hour 3 is powered by Low T Center and lowtcenter.com. We brought up, discussed, dissected A.J. Johnson signing with the Denver Broncos. If you're just joining us, that happened. And as soon as A.J. signed, he hit the practice field. And his footwork looks really, really, really good. According to Bryce here on Gridiron Now, Tennessee got themselves a new video coordinator replacing Joe Harrington, who left to be the guy with the Oakland Raiders there with John Gruden. And so Donald Rawson was at Alabama. He was also at Georgia. And so he has been brought in to be the new video coordinator. Tennessee announced a tailgate for Tennessee fans on game day there in Charlotte for the Tennessee-West Virginia game, and that will be at 3:30. The game's at 3:30, but the tailgate, I'm sorry.
Starts at 11:30,
right? We'll be starting at 11:30 to 2:30 right there at Cedar Hill, which is right around the corner, real close to the Bank of America Stadium, 624 South Cedar Street. So Tennessee tailgate taking over Charlotte.
18 days away.
Man, we're getting close. Pruitt and his comments about the quarterback situation, and golly, there's so many other players that are important on this roster, but the quarterback battle is very, very important because they are responsible for the ball most of the time. And if they play well, we understand they give their teams a great chance to win. So the position is very important. I'm not going to try to downplay it because you can't. It's important. All right. But Pruitt was asked just about the timeline of when he would maybe name a starting quarterback. And he says, quote, clearly when the best guy emerges, okay? So when the best guy emerges, that's when they'll name a quarterback. So we are 18 days away. So let's realistically think about this. We're 18 days away. We're 2 weeks and 4 days away from the start of the season.
So beautiful.
2 weeks and 4 days. So if you subtract game week from that, we're talking 11 days.
And this may sound come across as a stupid question, but I'm assuming when you say game week, that starts on Monday, August 27th.
I think it starts Sunday.
Sunday, August 26th. That is 11 days away.
Yeah, that's game day. I mean, that's game week. When you play the same week, that's considered game week. So Sunday is game week. You know, when you play a team on Saturday, whether you win or you lose, you always hear players and coaches talk about enjoying it for this moment tonight, and then tomorrow it's on to the next team. That's because Sunday is game week. You got to prepare for the next team. So the 26th is game week. So we're 11 days from game week. We are approaching, in my opinion, a decision on who's going to be the starting quarterback.
But I think it should be an internal decision. I think that internally they should decide. And I don't think if I was a head football coach, I would do what we've seen coaches do in the past. You'll find out the starting quarterback when the starter trots out there for the first snap against West Virginia.
Tell me this. Was Sunday's scrimmage open or closed?
Closed.
Are there articles about this close scrimmage?
Just one.
In terms of the details, there is just one, although there were a bunch about what Pruitt said about the
Have you noticed on Twitter that people are all jacked up about a possible commitment this week?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard rumblings.
My point is, you can't keep anything a secret around here.
That's fair.
You just can't. Because those rumblings are true.
Correct.
Okay? There is a commitment that may take place, okay? I'm not going to say who it is because I'm not going to ruin a kid's thunder or anything like that. But there is a possible commitment this week, all right? In the next, you know, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 days. There is one, okay? But you can't keep things a secret around here. You just can't. You had details from a close scrimmage. Bryce doesn't even live in Knoxville.
And he's still dominating.
John Bryce lives outside of Tennessee. And Bryce does a really good job with getting details and putting out articles. There's also people that have done a good job as far as recruiting and things like that are right here in Knoxville. I think Austin Price has done a good job in the last couple months with his coverage of recruiting. I mean, the videos at Progrenay and some of these guys, as soon as they announce their commitment, I mean, that's some big time stuff there. And so my point is, you can try to hide the starting quarterback all you want to, but somebody's gonna get first team reps. And it doesn't make any sense that internally you're gonna have a starting quarterback, but to try to throw the media off, what are you gonna do? Give the first quarterback and the second guy equal reps to try to throw people off? At some point you gotta say, forget the media. Remember the last dude got so caught up with the media. You don't want to get caught up in the media so much that you're not doing what you need to do. What you need to be doing is that when you identify your starting quarterback, he needs to have 65% of the first team snaps. And I'm sorry, you're going to have managers. You have managers. You have student managers. You have student trainers. You have so many people inside of that football organization on that football field. Man, it's hard to keep things in. When Pruitt got ran over in practice, that was reported.
Came out nearly immediately.
I'm like, really? This is news? This is a big deal? But this is the job. This is Tennessee. You are in a fishbowl. So anything you do is going to be probably reported. Pruitt falling in practice was reported, folks. Think about that. Pruitt fell. And that was a conversation on social media. He fell.
But I guess the way to combat that, because you were 100% right, is that
he fell.
I just don't. If you want to, I guess it's going to come down to if Jeremy Pruitt is like most coaches and will just wait and trot out whoever the starter is week one against West Virginia. That will be his announcement for who the starting quarterback is going to be. Or does he kind of set a different trend and announce it earlier? Because we rarely see a school come out and announce who their starting quarterback is before the football game. And I would be okay with, even if Jeremy Pruitt and Tyson Helton know amongst those two, if they're the only two that know, they're clicking in their head, but they don't openly admit it to the team or to the other coaches, I'm okay with that.
But you can't do that. It's not realistic is what I'm saying.
I think I said that wrong. If I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I just continue to let the quarterback competition play out, even if he kind of already has a feel that, okay, it's probably going to be Jared Guarantano. It's probably going to be Keller Chris. I just continue to let it play out.
But my thing is, you're not going to be able to do that without people knowing who the starter is going to be, because first team reps at quarterback, I mean, it's going to be
right.
It's going to be very noticeable. You'll be able to tell who's getting the first team reps. All the players will know. All the managers will know in the equipment room, and you know, the training room managers will know. Everyone's going to know when they see, okay, this quarterback is lined up against the number one defense during this portion of practice. That's not, you can't hide that. You're not going to be able to hide it at Tennessee. I'm sorry. You can try, but you're not going to be able to. And my point is, do not get outside yourself and limit opportunities to improve and grow and develop and build depth because you're so worried about people finding out. And I understand the element of surprise is in Tennessee's favor right now. Playing against West Virginia, new coaching staff, it is definitely in Tennessee's favor. But what we don't want to do is give the second team quarterback way too many reps to try to make it look even when you're taking away first-team reps from the quarterback that needs it to make sure that he's ready on Saturday. That's what I'm saying.
And I, in this situation, correct me if I'm wrong, West Virginia's not going to have a lot of tape on any of the guys that, that Tennessee has, and the tape that they have on Keller Chris will have to be from Stanford. The tape that they have from Jerry Garantano will have to be him in a completely different offensive set. And so, you know, I don't see a giant disadvantage to having your starter, you know, having that news come out. Because ultimately, you know, it's not going to be a big advantage for West Virginia to know, oh, it's going to be Jerick Garantano. Well, what is Jerick Garantano going to do in Tyson Helton's offense? You have nearly no idea. So I do think ultimately, because Jeremy Pruitt's a college football coach in the modern era, he is going to hide it as much as he can. But I would say you don't really need to, ultimately, unless there are tapes of your entire practices getting out, which
is not happening.
Yeah, that's definitely not happening. So, but like I said, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but when I look at that situation, it would not be that big of a deal.
With the quarterback situation going on in the competition, earlier we talked about gamers. And I think it's fair to say to this point, leading up to the first fall scrimmage, that Jerick Garantano had the edge on Keller Crist in terms of he was better in practice. But from the sound, from rumors you've heard from John Bryce's article, it sounds like Keller Crist had the better scrimmage. Which one is more important?
He didn't have the better scrimmage. I mean, sorry. He had his best scrimmage.
Okay.
He had his best day, but he didn't have
the better
that's
a,
scrimmage.
That's a huge difference.
Of the two quarterbacks. That's the thing. That's why you have to be careful about how you receive the information, mm-hmm. because if you're not careful, you would think that Keller Chris blew everybody out on Sunday,
right?
And he just didn't. He didn't. He had his probably best day. He had a good day for him, his time here. But Jared did a good job too on Sunday. That's why I'm trying to help folks here with this without just throwing it on the table. Yes, Keller had a really good day, but Jared also had a good day too. And for Keller to win this job, he's going to have extraordinary days moving forward. He has to blow Jared out of the water. And I don't think he's doing that. He's being efficient for the most part. But Jared is also being efficient. And he gives you more options with big play potential. He makes throws that Keller can't make. So that's why I've sat back and listened to some of the comments from Pruitt and the reactions from the fans, and I've kind of chuckled a little bit. Because if you're not careful, you would think that now Keller is in the lead.
Yeah. Keller had the better scrimmage, which is more important. Because obviously you want the guy who's going to perform during the game. It's one thing that Nathan Peterman was an awesome practice player.
Yeah, he's the best.
But he pissed down his leg when it was game time.
Do
you want the perfect practice player, or do you want the guy that's going to show up and produce on game day?
And that is and that is a very significant point, because you have to understand something, that these two quarterbacks, they have not played for the staff. One of these quarterbacks, this staff didn't even recruit. And the other guy, they did recruit, but from Stanford, who got beat out. It's the reason why he's having to leave Stanford. And so you're still learning about these quarterbacks. I mean, my junior year, when I, you know, found myself hurt there at the end of the season, Coach Fulmer had 2.5 years of me playing for him, so he knew what to expect. Okay, I may not give you everything you need in practice, but when them lights are on and it's 3rd-and-7, I got you. So Coach Fulmer knows that. He knew that about me. So practice wasn't as important because I was hurt as it would be for someone that was brand new. So Jermaine Pruitt, Tyson Helton, Kevin Scherer, they don't know what to expect in the game. All these guys who are practicing well and on this new system, this new scheme, they may look good in practice, but they may totally pee down their leg during the game. You don't know. So that's why Keller was brought here. I think Keller was brought here not because he was going to just take over the quarterback job from Jared. I think Keller was brought here because you were not confident enough in Will McBride. I think Keller was brought here more as if Jared's not ready, we have a solid number two. Or if Jared gets hurt, we have a solid number two. Without Keller, man, the number two scares the hell out of you.
Well,
with Will McBride. And I know it's hard for people to see that because what you saw last year was Will McBride sometimes playing better than Jared Guantanamo. You did see that. But I think that is why Keller has been brought in. And then you still give Keller opportunity to compete and win the overall job. But I just don't think Keller has the tools that can put Tennessee's offense in the best situations to win.
And from a fan's perspective, Keller has the advantage of the fans on his side because when fans hear that a grad transfer is transferring to their team, their school, they automatically assume that, okay, this guy's going to be an impact guy. This guy's going to start. And look at Brandon Kennedy. He was handed the center role for more reasons than not. But and even Ryan Tice, the kicker, everybody expects him to be the kicker. Madre London, everybody expected him to be the running back. Keller Crist, everybody expected him to be the starting quarterback.
We like new.
Yes.
We do it every year. We do it with freshmen, players coming in. Sometimes we treat the players that we already have. We're like, oh, well, we cast them away if they don't come in and have an Eric Berry impact as a true freshman. We tend to do that. We like new. And so, yeah, you already seen Jared. You got a small sample size of Jared Guantanamo last year.
And it was under Butch Jones and Larry Scott's offense.
Absolute ish storm.
Forgive me for not holding that over his head.
You saw Jared in an ish storm last year. And so folks saw that. They got a small sample size. And they just wrote him off because he didn't come in. And, you know, he wasn't like, you know, freaking Jalen Hurts is a true freshman. Mm-hmm. And so now people ignore the fact that he got beat out of Stanford. And they go, well, Keller Crist is going to be the starting quarterback. Well, no. No, not yet. It's going to take Keller to really have some great days and string them together, I think, to beat Jared. But we're close to game week. And my point in the segment is it's going to be really hard to keep that close to the vest about who's going to be the starting quarterback until September 1st. That's all I'm saying. Realistically speaking.
You mentioned Keller was brought in to kind of be the saving grace if something goes wrong.
My opinion.
In your opinion.
Yeah, my opinion.
Based on what you have seen through a week and a half of practice and what you've heard from one scrimmage, do you think if JG gets hurt, is Keller a viable number two?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Let's go to Mike in Atlanta. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What's y'all up to?
Mike, good morning, man.
What's up, bro?
How you feeling down there, man? You okay? You okay down there, man?
Man, listen, you know, I have to put up with all these Georgia fans down here. I've been making the day. It's thick with them down here.
God. Dude, Mike, when I saw that they got Demetrius Robinson transfer from Cal, I was sick. And then when he was allowed to play this season, I think his appeal went through and he was granted immediate eligibility, I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. I'm so sick of Georgia right now. Ugh.
Yeah, to hear Marcus Spears say that just made Deebo Samuel the second best receiver in the SEC.
I know. Yep, he's right. He ain't wrong, man. Marcus Robinson is the real deal. I mean, Demetrius Robinson is the real deal.
Yeah, that hurt. Anyway, let's not talk about Georgia.
I know, man. Forget that.
Let's talk about something real. I'm calling y'all about something y'all talked about yesterday. I'm going way off topic. And okay. I'm going to throw my hat in with Charles and with Charlie. And Tiger Woods is the greatest athlete in any sport to ever do anything. Tiger Woods, from 1997, I guess that's when he won his first match, but 96 he won the Junior Am, I think, all the way to 2008. He is the most dominant athlete to play any sport ever. I'm throwing that in complete agreement with Charles and Charlie. On Sunday, I got, like, transported back in time watching Tiger's final round. I almost lost, like, all awareness of everything else going on in the world in my life just to focus in on watching Tiger Woods play golf.
Here's my question. Don't some golf fans view Jack Nicklaus as one of the greatest golfers of all time?
Yeah, in his era, he may have been.
It was a totally different game.
It's a totally different game.
Yeah.
And the technology that we had, it brought all the talent completely closer together. Everybody became closer any given day. And it shows with when Tiger's been out of the game, there's been no dominant athlete, no dominant golfer. Every week somebody different is winning. But in that era when Tiger was so good and the technology was great, he was crushing people. He wasn't just beating people. He was making it look like they didn't deserve to be on the same course as him.
Second all-time in all-time wins, second all-time in majors.
I don't necessarily disagree. I just don't know how – I don't disagree, but I don't know that I agree either for the simple fact that how can he be the most dominant at his sport ever when he doesn't have the most majors wins?
It was more of the
– when
the
you have guys like
– well, at least I – what I think, it's Mike, right? What you're saying here is just in the compact amount of time that Tiger, the decade more or less, 97 mm-hmm. to really 2008, I guess, he just crushed everybody, where Jack Nicklaus was a little more spread out. It was over a longer amount of time, although he has more majors. Mm-hmm. And Tiger is still doing it at 42. It's tough because it's tough to compare domination.
Yeah.
Because you look at you look at Federer, you look at Serena Williams.
I look at
Williams,
Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt.
Michael Phelps, Usain Bolt, and it's just hard to compare dominations. They all dominated. They were all unbelievable. But it's hard to compare dominations there. That's where I have a tough time just definitively saying it's Tiger Woods. I want to say it's Tiger Woods because he was incredible and influenced my life in a big way. But
question for Mike, question for everybody here. Do you find yourself kind of gravitating towards golf and being a little bit biased because it is a sport that you don't have to be super athletic. You can everyone can play it and everyone can.
It's a common man sport.
Yeah, you can play it well. It's so common that I think so many folks kind of maybe gravitate towards golf and be a little bit biased because you can't do what NBA players can do. You can't do what Michael Phelps can do. You can't do what Usain Bolt can do. But man, you can go out there with your buddies and hit that great shot or have a nice round, mm-hmm. and you just identify with Tiger Woods more than anyone else. Do you think that kind of plays into it a little bit?
It could definitely play into it. I think so. But you also can go out on the golf course and hit a shot or watch them say Tiger stood on the tee. I believe it was one of the as the second shot into one of the holes, and they said it's 184 yards here. You know, downhill a little bit, and Tiger's got a 9-iron. It's like, what?
So ridiculous.
I would have hit a 4. He's hitting a 9-iron. Justin Thomas is 5'6", or 5'8", little bitty dude, and he can smash the ball. You're like, how? How are they doing that? I could swing as hard as I could. I couldn't hit it that far.
It's a different era.
I have the secret.
Right now.
I have the secret, Mike, before we let you go. I have the secret.
Let me hear it.
It's all in the hips.
All right, Slay.
All right, see you, Mike.
We're gonna play around the golf one day.
All right, man. We can try.
There's still
we can try.
Is I would say
what you want to call it.
One of the things seeing pro tennis and pro golf live are both things that if you've played the sport at all and you kind of know how tough it is, it's the most unbelievable thing to see live because pro golfers can just do things that. That you could never do. You could not dream of doing the way that they can move the ball. It's the same with tennis players. they can hit a ball with the racket in a way that you just, I mean, you're never going to have the ability to do that. It's unbelievable.
It's unreal. Yeah, you're right.
To see live. It's a little set apart for me. That's a good question.
I'm not disagreeing with Mike there. I'm not disagreeing with what you guys are saying. I'm more in the ballpark that it is hard to definitively put one person above everybody else. I just think it's hard because you want to talk about domination. How about Wilt Chamberlain? Dude was scoring 100 points in the basketball game and was going up against, you know, little 6 foot centers when he was 7 foot. I mean, if you want to talk domination, that is domination.
Here's where I might say Tiger Woods might have the ultimate claim is compelling viewers to watch as an athlete.
That's not domination.
The PGA Championship had a 69% increase in viewers.
That's not domination.
Because over year over year.
That's 69. That's intrigue.
I know it's not domination. I'm saying where he may have the all-time kind of, record among athletes is his ability to move fans to watch.
Yeah, but I mean, that's because so many people play golf that, man, you want to see someone play at a high level. I know you understand that's not domination. I just think the Tiger just identifies with so many people because, you know, we all play golf. When you get a certain age, you like playing golf, and it's cool to see someone as great as Tiger play it.
Where Michael Phelps
was just as damn dominant, but no one was like, man, I gotta stop what I'm doing to go watch Michael Phelps swim. It's swimming.
Yeah,
to watch swimming like that?
When Michael Phelps is swimming, I stop what I'm doing to stop what I'm doing to watch Katie Ledecky just because of how dominant she is in the Olympics.
It's appointment viewing strictly in the context of the Olympics, though, where Tiger Woods is week in and week out. When he's in the lead, you want to watch.
Yeah. I don't think that equals domination.
I'm not saying
we gotta go to break, though. Bottom of the hour here in the Swain event, hour three, brought to you by and powered by Low T Center, lowtcenter.com. Stay with us, be right back.
Hour three of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and lowtcenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again? Let us help.
Hey, Annie, you're the spokesperson for Toyota Knoxville, right?
That's right.
Why should I buy from Toyota Knoxville?
Are you looking for new or used vehicles?
Does it matter?
No, because Toyota Knoxville has over 390 new Toyotas on the ground and over 350 pre-owned vehicles available to choose from.
Okay, so big selection.
And a lifetime warranty at no charge on all new and select pre-owned vehicles.
A lifetime warranty.
A non-factory limited lifetime powertrain warranty with unlimited miles. Plus 30 years of experience to Knoxville, not just serving our customers, serving our community.
And the buying experience?
Hello, it's Toyota Knoxville. Read the reviews. Talk to anybody that's been there.
Okay. Where am I going?
Toyota Knoxville is at I-40 and the Lover Road exit. Go to Parkside Drive. You can't miss it.
Can I tell them Annie sent me?
I wish you would. If you're passionate about the car you drive, come meet the people that are passionate about the way they sell at Toyota Knoxville. ToyotaKnoxville.com.
Warranty good at participating dealers.
Get ready for a better school year by shopping the Back to School Sale at Better Mattress happening now. Whether you're a parent or a student, you know a good night's sleep makes a difference in your day. Whether it's the patience to sit in school traffic or the concentration you need to pass your test, a better night's sleep is super important for the whole household. Right now, choose a twin, full, or queen bundle deal, all starting at just $379. The Back to School Bundle Deal from Better Mattress is everything you need in one stop for a better night's sleep. Get a mattress, box spring, frame, sheets, and a memory foam pillow, all delivered for free, starting at just $379. You choose the size twin, full, or queen, the price stays the same. We know one size doesn't fit all. Over a dozen different mattresses qualify for this offer. Have a better school year this year. Get the Better Mattress Back to School Bundle Deal while supplies last. Tell them Seth sent you and ask to try my mattress. Don't wait. Shop now. Chat live with a representative at bedrmattress.com. Good night just got better.
Gentlemen, get back in the game. Did you know that one out of every three men over 40 may have low testosterone? Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. Do you know your numbers? Well, I know my numbers. Low T Center made it quick and easy. I walked in, I took a simple blood test, and I knew my results in about 20 minutes. Their service is even covered by most health insurance. So give them a call, 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388. Or go to lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
Let's get to Trevor on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline, Hour 3, brought to you by and powered by Low T Center and lowtcenter.com, reinventing men's health. Know your number, 6 locations here in Tennessee. To help you achieve that, let's get to Trevor. Trevor, good morning.
Hey, morning. How y'all doing?
Man, doing great, Trevor. Good to hear from you.
Hey, man. Hey, I wanted to touch on that Tiger. I'll say one thing real quick about the Tiger thing. As far as, like, you know, trying to set apart guys that dominated, whether whatever sport it is, tennis, you know, you say Moulton, track. I don't know. I'm not a huge Tiger fan, but back when he was in his prime, you know, and he was just dominating, when it came, like, time in the weekend, the Saturday, Sunday rounds, if Tiger was in contention, man, the Tiger effect was, like, a real thing. I called it, like, the top booty hole effect, where everybody else got real, you know, real nervous. And I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever had as much, I guess, effect on their competition as he had. I mean, he seemed to just kind of make everybody play different when he was around. But
yeah, I am definitely willing. Well, I think that's a different conversation. And I don't disagree at all. I think, you know, the Tiger Woods effect of making you stop what you're doing to watch him, absolutely. And I think that has a lot to do with how golf is a common man sport, how you can play golf for pleasure, you can play golf for business, you can play golf, you know, as a date. You can go play golf with your boo if you want to. I mean, you can do so many things with golf, whereas you can't really say that about any other sport. And so many people can identify with golf because they play it so much. So, yeah, I agree. When it comes to Tiger Woods, when he's playing and he's in contention, he gets the eyeballs. But to say that he was the most dominant athlete of all time, I don't know if I'm willing to say that, because I think about Bolton, I think about Phelps and Jordan and all these guys who dominated during their era too.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think it'd be more fair to do like a top 10 or something like that, but it's hard to separate one from the other.
It is.
It's all personal opinion.
Yeah, hey, getting back to football, I was going to ask you a quick question. DBs, as far as cornerbacks, I know I've been hearing, I think everybody's been talking about how Alante Taylor's been, you know, impressing everybody, like Bryce Thompson's been looking good. As far as like a coach, when you're trying to, you know, decide who to play, who to start, how do you decide, you know, playing somebody with just raw natural ability, talent, versus somebody that's maybe a little more experienced? That's maybe not going to make as many mistakes, but they're not going to give you as much playmaking ability. You know, I'm thinking about not taking any shots at any of the guys there, but, you know, how do you decide if it's worth the risk to start somebody like Alante Taylor, even though he's a freshman and doesn't have a whole lot of experience?
Great question. Great question. Let me compare it to the quarterback position. The first thing you have to do to win the job, I'm about to pull a Trent Dilfer here. You can't win the game if you're losing it.
You have to score points to win the football game.
So the first thing you have to do to win a quarterback job is not to lose it, which means don't turn the football over. That's the first thing you have to do, is take care of the football and not be a liability, because you can't play if every time you go under center, you're fumbling the ball, your exchange with the running back is off, you're throwing into coverage. You can't win the game, period, if you have a quarterback that's loose with the ball. You have a very low chance of winning. But with a quarterback who's less talented, but he's more responsible with the football, now you open yourself up to staying in the game and let defense help you win, let the special teams help you win, letting the other 10 guys around the quarterback help you win. As I compare that to the corners, here's the thing about the corners. Turnovers for a quarterback are critical errors. Busted coverages falling down on man-to-man coverages, letting receivers, you know, run free, those are critical errors. I don't care how talented you are, but if you are a liability to the point where you're having a lot of critical errors, you can't play. And then it is time to look at the second guy who maybe is less athletic, but you know he's going to be where he's supposed to be, and he's not going to give up 50-yard gains. He's not going to, you know, have bonehead mistakes. He's not going to be lining up different, you know, wrong, not communicating in the back end, leaving a whole side of the field open. That is when you can't play a true freshman. You just can't do it. You can't. If he doesn't know where to line up, if he is costing you, you know, big plays, you can't play him. But 50-50 balls, getting beat there on a 50-50 ball, I can take that every once in a while. I can take you getting beat, just flat out beat, just because, you know, the receiver's better than you. I can take that. It depends on what part of the game. If it's you know, you're up 14 points, or it just depends on what part of the game this happens. You can't have critical errors. You just can't have it. When you have those, you can't play a guy. Perfect alignment, perfect assignment, that is number one. And then you got to make plays. So that's a really good question, and that is something that Pruitt, Terry Fair, and Kevin Scherer will have to figure out with these young boys. After 1 week of practice, they had one scrimmage on Sunday. How do they respond to hitting that wall? How do they respond? I've seen Alante Taylor kind of hit a wall. In my opinion, I think it's a little wall. And I think that's why Jordan Pruitt has told people to pump the brakes on anointing Alante Taylor at corner.
How does he overcome that wall? How do you overcome that wall in training camp?
Oh, it's
just mental?
It's mental.
Is it all mental?
Yeah, it's all mental.
Getting
dude.
Mental reps?
It's all mental. It's all mental. It's all mental.
Do you just do something? Say you have a practice on a Tuesday afternoon. That night, do you just do something that clears your mind?
This is what you do. Freshman guys, when you have a break, they think, let me catch a nap, let me rest. Older guys, when you have a break, they go to the training room. They get in the hot tub. They get in the ice tub.
They get better.
Extra stretching. Yes, they do those things. That is a veteran move. That's what you have to do.
The naps are just a kind of putting a Band-Aid on something, whereas going to the training room and whatnot.
Yeah, that's
a long-term.
That's a veteran move. And then, you know, in practice, so, like, let's say you have team. Well, your veteran guys, they understand that just because the play is not coming to you, you still got to sprint to the football. There's a pace of play. There's a style of play. I went through as a freshman. Okay, the ball didn't come my way. It was running play. All right, this is my time to kind of get a breather. No, that's not the way it works at all. And so it took me some time to realize, okay, I got to go cut off the backside corner or the backside safety on a running play, because what if the running back
cuts back
and my guy makes a tackle? That's the difference between a touchdown and just a first down. What if we turn the ball over next play? What if we kick a field goal? Well, that could have been a touchdown if I've done my job. So that's that wall, that mental wall where you're a little bit tired, you're a little bit sore, and you don't think this little minor detail is that major, because at high school, it wasn't. You can get away with it. That is that wall. And it is 100% mental, because everyone is sore. Everyone is tired. But the ones are out there for a reason, because when they're tired, they're still able to make plays. So that is what Alante Taylor and Bryce Thompson will have to worry about. And that gives Schamberger and Baylen Buchanan, those guys, opportunities, because they already been through it. They understand the mental part of the game. All right, let's go.
Good, Jay.
Talk to Jay. Jay, good morning.
Swain, good morning, bud.
Hey, Jay, how you doing, man?
Doing well, brother, doing well. Swain, look, man, I'm not going to say the kid's name, because if it is true, I don't want to ruin it for him or anything, but I read, you know, a couple places. It seemed like they were hinting at that Tennessee could get a big he would be a big-time commitment if this kid, who I think they're hinting at, would be committing. He would be a big-time commitment. And honestly, I did not expect that. If that does happen, I completely did not expect him doing anything this soon. Have you heard anything like that?
Is he small or big?
like size.
Yeah.
Big dude.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard that one right. Short term. Yeah. Short term, I have not heard about that one. I've heard about that one long term. Now, there is a gentleman that has liked Tennessee for a very, very long time. And I'm hearing some more talk about him. I think he got a crystal ball prediction.
That's who I'm talking about.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he did that. Jay, I mean, crap, he's been tweeting about Tennessee all freaking summer.
That'd be huge, man.
Yeah, that would be huge. I wouldn't be surprised if he did it, but because, again, he's shown love to Tennessee. I thought he would be maybe a guy that waited a little bit later because he could, but I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee got him for sure. I mean, he got the early signing period that's in place, and some of these guys want to get it over with. To be quite frank,
yeah.
If you remember, and I've kind of been saying it on the show, Tennessee is in really good position for about 3 to 4 guys, like where we are 1 or 2. I think Tennessee is in position where they can turn away some guys. They can be very selective. I think the phone call we got yesterday, maybe that was from UJ. I'm not really sure about the – no, it wasn't. About the IMG connection with Chris Winkie and why Tennessee doesn't have more running backs from that school. You know, they have 2 highly rated running backs. And so it'd be just easy to say, well, come on, let's just go get those players because of Chris Winkie. Go look at our class and go look at there's a guy we have committed who could play running back or he could play defense. He is very similar to Crouch in that respect. Crouch is obviously more highly rated, more of a freak, but we have a commitment who could play either or at the next level, and Ben just said it. That is Aaron Beasley. And so look at what Pruitt is doing with this team already. He's moving guys around. He's getting the best football players on the team. Well, he's recruiting the same way too. He's taking guys who are playing one position maybe in high school, but he sees them at another position in college. And a guy like Aaron Beasley has shown Tennessee that they would rather go and get a dude who could be a guy that can play 3 different positions for you, depending on how he develops, how he gets the playbook, rather than going and getting a top-rated running back who maybe they don't think is top-rated, but that's the only position that he could probably play. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That makes sense? Yeah. So, like, you take Aaron Beasley, and, hey, let's say he comes in and he's running back. And let's say there's other guys better. Guess what you could do? Move the linebacker, and he could be freaking Eric Westmoreland. That is how things were done back in the late 90s and the 2000s. You had those guys that you could play at 2 or 3 different positions based on how they took in the information and how they performed at Tennessee. And so that is what I would pay attention to a little bit there, Jay, moving forward.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes probably the most efficient use of your scholarship as well, you know.
Yeah.
That would be big, Wayne. I mean, if they got that kid, I knew we were in a really good spot for him, but, you know, I thought he would wait because he's one of these guys, he could wait, pretty much go to anywhere. So that would be huge, man. That'd be awesome if that happens. But I'll hang up, and y'all have a good rest of the day.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it, man. Let's keep it going. And I think I got it, Ben. This is Lee.
Yes.
All right, Lee. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm great, Lee. Thanks for calling.
No problem. We're forgetting Floyd Mayweather as one of the greatest dominant athletes of our time.
Yeah, he was 50, he's 50-0. And it's hard because his record was great, but he was so passive as a boxer. And technique-wise, yes, he was great, man. He's the greatest defensive boxer of all time. But when you think of boxing, you think of, you know, a battle between 2 men and they're hitting each other. You know, you think about guys that went after each other, like the Muhammad Ali's and the Mike Tysons and things like that. So Floyd Mayweather, he does get left out But how do you ignore 50-0? I mean, you just can't.
That's what makes him great. Because
yeah, I know.
He was unable to get in the fight like that.
He chose not to use that style of boxing because that will lengthen his career. If he could be a great defensive boxer, he can make more money. And Floyd Mayweather has done that. Floyd Mayweather has been, I think, the mold for athletes. You know, you look at Twitter, you look at social media, and guys who are trying to market themselves and build their brand. You know, Dwayne Wade didn't sign with any Adidas or Nike. He went somewhere else and had a signature shoe. But you got to look at how Floyd Mayweather did all his promotions, did everything himself, and he's been able to make a whole lot of money. That's why he's the richest athlete, because he changed the game.
Made $400 million from the fight with Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Reportedly.
Yeah. I mean, he's just on another level. But, again, I agree with you. It's hard to ignore 50-0 over a boxing career.
So I looked up, and it looks like this article might be from around 2010. So this was the most dominant athletes, according to ESPN, and they actually did math. And it said the most dominant athletes in the last 20 years. Think is what it said. It on ESPN the magazine's 20th anniversary, so whenever that was. But these were the most dominant athletes through the first 20 years of ESPN the magazine. Number one was Tiger Woods, according to their math. Number two, LeBron James, and number three, this one might be surprising, Peyton Manning, according to ESPN in that time. So,
I mean, he did dominate.
Yeah, and because on here you have ones that like we wouldn't consider. Jimmie Johnson in NASCAR is number four. Roger Federer in tennis. Yeah, I brought him up.
Seven straight championships.
Yeah, Annika Sorenstam on the LPGA. She just rocked it. Michael Schumacher in Formula One. Like there's guys that we wouldn't think about. Number eight is Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah,
I mean he is phenomenal. So.
I mean, let me
look up when this would have been.
I guess when you throw in the analytics, I mean, I guess you can try to find who's number one. I just, without the analytics, it was hard for me to put one or the other. But looks like ESPN done that. Let's go to the phones while you grab that information.
Zach.
Let's get to Zach. Zach, good morning.
Would have been 2008.
Hey. Zach, good morning.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, man. Great. How are you?
Doing good, man. I just want to get your opinion on the strength and conditioning programs. You think it's doing a lot better?
Heck yeah.
Fitzgerald, the guy looking bigger?
Heck yeah, man. Night and day.
That's something we've been slacking in the last few years. So yeah, I just want to get your opinion. I ain't got to keep up with as much as I usually do. I just want to get your opinion on it and see what your thoughts was, and I'll get off here and listen to you.
Yeah, night and day, man. You know, Fitzgerald is worth every single penny. You know, they invested in year one $1.2 million, $600,000 for a salary, and they redid the weight room for another $600,000.
And all the other guys they brought in.
Yeah, so I think, and I said this before, I said it again, I'm on record saying it, that the strength and conditioning your strength and conditioning coach is your second most important coach on your staff. In the SEC and in the major college football, it is. And, How do you compete if guys are not physically able to compete? How do you compete if they're not mentally tough? And mental toughness is built in the spring and the summer with the guy they spend the most time with, and that's the strength and conditioning coach. So
update here before we get out. It looks like this list was made this year because their very first issue was in 1998, making 2018 their 20th anniversary.
All right. So they
that's up to date.
They have Tiger Woods as the number one athlete, and I'm curious to know those methods that they use to figure this out. So maybe that's something we can touch on quickly before we wrap up today's show. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Today's special is the chicken tender sandwich. Be right back.
Hour three of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799. We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, and Sipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
Big Orange football is better alongside another Tennessee tradition, Mrs. Grissom's Salad. Mrs. Grissom's ready-made snacks and meals are perfect for game day. Crowd favorites like the select pimento cheese and cranberry pecan chicken salad are delicious and easy to grab and go right from the grocery store. Going to the game? Visit Mrs. Grissom's in Vol Village for the must-have panini grilled pimento cheese hot dog. Man, select the best. Select Tennessee's own Mrs. Grissom's.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now, what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
At work? Can't call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
All right, so the last segment of the show, we will we'll try to represent a little bit here on Swain Event, Fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Got a few minutes left, and a couple of announcements right quick before we wrap up today's show. First is that we will tomorrow have a conversation with Lane Kiffin, former Tennessee coach, current coach there at FAU. We know he's a coordinator at Alabama, won a championship there, and so we will record an interview with him, and we'll post that there at Swain, on Swain Event Plus. And so if you are a Swain Event Plus member, here's an opportunity for you to submit questions that you would like for us to ask Lane in these 15 minutes. So we'll take some of the questions from Swain Event Plus, and then I already have some of my questions that I want to ask him for a very long time that I will ask him during the interview. And so that will be posted tomorrow afternoon there at Swain Event Plus. SwainEventPlus.com is a website. And so that will be, you know, that'll be available tomorrow afternoon. Also, next Monday, there's a golf tournament taking place, and this is why I love golf tournaments, and I love going to, you know, to these scrambles and stuff like that. Not because I like playing golf, but because I like driving a car, the cart, and I like having a couple sips, and I like going around and giving people my great advice I gave Michael earlier, which is telling them that it's all in the hips. And last year we were out there and it was a solar eclipse, but this is the fourth annual Daily Times charity golf tournament that benefits the Empty Pantry Fund. In the Empty Pantry Fund, they provide meals to families all across Blount County. Very, very important, especially during the holidays. And so they deliver food baskets to 1,300 families during Christmas each year, and they're able to do that with the proceeds from this golf tournament. So the teams are full, but you can donate and you can get involved by going to emptypantryfund.com. Last year at the golf tournament, you and Brad played.
Yep.
And y'all think I'm joking. All I do is go around and tell people that
like
it's all
Marshawn Lynch.
That's all I do. That's all I do.
Yep, that is 100% true.
Are you riding around like Marshawn?
Well, I'm not driving. I was a passenger, and all I did was say, Hey, Charlie, Brad, it's all in the hips, guys. That's it. It's all in the hips.
Oh.
I feel bad for Charlie this year.
We were brand new.
He stuck with me.
I was going to say, are we playing, Ben?
Well, I'm playing.
All right. Sounds good to me, because...
are you playing?
Oh, yeah.
Just make sure when I come around that you're coachable.
So it is actually, and I mean, you need to understand, it is actually a tournament where we post scores.
I understand.
And people will see it.
I understand that, and I just hope I hope you understand that I'm not going to post a good score.
That's okay.
I'm just letting you know now.
I'll carry the team. See what I can do.
Is it a foursome or is it a twosome?
Two.
Okay, that makes me feel better because I didn't want to. Do we play best ball or do they? Okay.
At least that's what it was last year.
Well, we will be playing your ball the entire time.
that is okay.
I don't know if we have enough time to share how they came up with the whole best athlete of all time. So I'm not going to try to force you to do it, Charlie, and talk like Twister.
You have 38 seconds.
No, I ain't going to force you to do it. We'll just save it for tomorrow. The guys are back on the practice field today, and we'll see who takes some strides forward after Tennessee's first scrimmage. We'll surely have an update on quarterback situation and other players taking a step forward. For Ben McKee, Charlie Burris, I'm Jason Swain. Hope you have a great day. Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Peace and always much, much love. We are out. Have a great day.